Tonight I'm talking on the disciple and his praying life. The disciple and his praying life. Praise the Lord. Now we have come to this point where we need to look at the prayers as God wants us to pray. Praying as God wants us to pray and taking prayer the way Jesus wants us to take it. As a disciple, Jesus Christ took pain to destroy all the wrong notions that disciples already had about prayer before showing them the true spiritual praying, how to pray spiritually. In Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5, the Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and the corner of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." Now that's to say, Jesus knew that there were wrong ways of praying. Go to prayer meetings, they find it difficult to committed to going to church because they seem to have been praying so many prayers, they don't get the results. So, as such, what's the need? Something you do and you know the result is there. You do it with all confidence, with all joy, and without any struggle. Praise the Lord. And that's why he says, don't pray like the hypocrites. The Lord to pray standing in the synagogues. Just like we do today, many love to pray, shouting, crying, making a lot of noise, and without really getting the thing done. In verse 6, he said, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Praise the Lord. And you see that? That when you want to pray, go to the secret. Go to your closet. Shut the door. In other words, God is much interested in this secret prayer than this open noise making. Hallelujah. And that is what is lacking today in the church, the secret prayer. So many people do not have secret prayers. They only have noise making. And the power of praying is in the secret. Praise the Lord. And this is what Jesus was saying. When you pray as a disciple, go into the secret. Shut your door. Pray to thy Father. We see it in the secret. And the Father we see it in the secret shall reward thee openly. So, if our secret prayer life is not strong, it shows in our open appearance. Hallelujah. And the reward also follows. So when the reward comes, you will know whether we have been praying secretly or not. Verse 7 says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do." See another thing? Vain repetition. Vain repetition. Just like the heathens are doing. Just repeating one thing, repeating one thing, repeating one thing, repeating one thing. He said, "For they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." That when I speak hard like this, you know, there's something I have also come to discover, which we must know about prayer, that God is not deaf. Neither is it that he doesn't even know what we are saying. No. It is the faith in your prayer that matters. It's not the much talking, the much shouting, and the repeating of one thing. Hallelujah. Verse 8 says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what thing ye have need of before ye ask him." Praise God. You know, these scriptures and this teaching is to bring us, that's what we're talking about discipleship, is to bring us closer to God. People who don't learn these things, They always stay there as multitude. A disciple is someone that is close to God. It is when you are close to God, you know what God wants, and you do exactly what He wants. And you see the disciples, the way they walk with Jesus, they knew what He wanted. And when He was not there, they were doing exactly what He was doing. Praise the Lord. But no member of the multitude could do that. They were doing exactly what He was doing. They could face persecution. They could face trials because they know what the Master has taught them, the process. Today we lack people who understand the process of the kingdom because they are not close to God. So discipleship is being close to God. You look at it, that your Father already knows what you are in need of, even before you ask. Amen? Simple. God already knows our needs. So it is not oh Lord, in Jesus' name, hey, oh. That is not one we make God to answer. Praise the Lord. He already knows. He's not deaf. He's not wicked either. So He knows our needs. So that's why the prayer in the closet is very much important. We have people today who do not pray in the closet, but go to church and make noise. Go to the street and shout. But there is no morning devotion. There is no hour of prayer for himself or herself in the closet. So they make a lot of noise outside, and at the end of the day, they wonder why is God not hearing. Is God deaf? No. He looks at your secret prayer life. Hallelujah. So, to become a prayerful disciple, we must let the prayer life of Jesus Christ set the pattern for us. Number one, what prayer was to Jesus? How was prayer to Jesus? What was prayer to Jesus? In the book of Luke in chapter 3, we discover that in verse 21, Luke chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, oh, God, may God bring revival to the church again in Jesus' name. Those days, when Christianity was really strong and fervent, you see serious believers, if they are not in the Bible study or in a very important meeting, they will come and find out what was the message, what was the teaching. They want to take it because they are following. But today, people don't even care. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 3, verse 21. It says, now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was open. You see it? And praying, verse 22, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And the voice came from heaven, which said, thou art my beloved son, in thee I am well pleased. Now, what does this show us? That when Jesus was being baptized, there was this prayer that was going on in him. As I'm getting to this baptism, Lord, I need the power of God. I need the presence of God. I need registration from heaven. I need confirmation from heaven. There was that prayer going on in him. Praise the Lord. So, that's why we need to understand how this is what it must be to us also. And number one, an intimacy with God. Or rather, an intimacy with the Father. Closeness. Prayer is intimacy. Prayer brings a man close to God. Sometimes I wonder, how will somebody be praying and he's not close to God? What kind of prayer is that? Is the hypocrite prayer. Praise the Lord. The hypocrite's prayer. In our society today, prayer is seen as a means of key devil, key demon, key that. That's not prayer. Praise the Lord. So, it is an intimacy with the Father. You see Jesus being baptized and praying. There was that link with the Father. Chapter 5 of the same Luke, in verse 15. He said, but so much the more when there a fame abroad of him, and great multitude came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. You see another thing? So, withdrawing himself to prayer. So, Jesus' kind of prayer was not a public prayer. It was a secret prayer. So, the multitude was there and he withdrew himself to prayer. That shows us a response to a sense of need. Prayer was to Jesus in response to sense of need. There is a need in my life. So I have to respond to it. So I have to go to God and say, Father, I need strength. I need grace. I need power. I need wisdom. Now as I go, praise the Lord. That is a response to sense of need. If you don't know that you are empty and you need God, then you are going to be frustrated. So prayer is that you have a need and you have to respond to it. So instead of just going out like that, you must have to withdraw and cry to God first. Praise the Lord. So it is a response to a sense of need. Again, let's look at Luke 9 verse 28. Luke 9:28. It says, and it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. Praise the Lord. Going to a mountain to pray. You can see now, secluded, withdrawing, secret prayer. So, took his Bible, went to a mountain to pray. Hallelujah. That means, it's an expression of heart burden. That is, there is a burden in the heart which he needed to express. So, he has to take it to God in a secluded place. Prayer is expression of a body. You have a body. Instead of complaining, instead of talking to people, go to God. Go to a secret place and pour out your heart to God. Praise the Lord. So that's what prayer means to Jesus. Again, let's look at the same Luke 11 verse 1. He says, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Can you see the sequence of prayers? You can see that they were secret prayers, getting along with God and withdrawing to meet God. So, he was praying in a certain place. And when he sees, disciples now ask him, please teach us how to pray. You know, prayer is one thing that needs to be taught. Somebody must know how to pray. It's not just, there are people who just join church, they don't even want to learn how to pray. And you don't learn how to pray, how can you ever get to know God? Never. 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 Praise the Lord. There's no deception about that. If you don't know how to pray, you can never know God. The only easiest way to reach God is through prayer. Praise the Lord. So, it is a practice of dependence on the Father. A practice of dependence on the Father. That I depend on God, so I have to talk to Him. Since I don't have any other hope, I have to talk to my Father. Some other people, they have some other hopes. When they are in need, they go to one man, one Baba somewhere, one prophet to go and pray for them. They don't pray on their own. They want somebody to pray for them. So that's their hope. They depend on a man. So they don't depend on God. When you depend on God, you take your matter to God and tell him, this is my problem. And he will minister to you on the process. Praise the Lord. So, let's take note of that very well. The dependence on the Father. Again, that look at verse 5. It says, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is not shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he would not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be open. Praise the Lord. And that is it. If a friend shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Praise the Lord. So you can see, it's a way of depending on God. You know that this is where you depend upon. This watch who you depend upon. So you carry your matter to him. You are in need, he that accept, receive it. You have that belief. You know that you are in problem, you go. If God becomes your friend, then you can ask your friend anything. That's why a friend can go to a friend in the midnight and say, please, I need this thing. And people are asleep. And you can't go to everybody like that. It's your bosom friend that you can go to. And even though he's already asleep, because he's his friend, and he knows that he really needs this thing, he will rise up to go and give him. So, if we become a friend of God, he will also deal with us like that. Praise the Lord. Now, the next thing is that prayer to Jesus is an exercise of spiritual authority. Prayer is an exercise of spiritual authority. In Luke 22, let's look at 22. In verse 31. Luke 22 verse 31 says, and the Lord says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This is authority. Satan wants to gain control over you. I have prayed for you to check you out of his hand. It's an exercise of spiritual authority. Verse 39. It says, and he came out and went as he was what? To the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise the Lord. So, it is a way of exercising your authority in the realm of the spirit. Pray that you enter not into temptation, because the devil will bring temptation to you. You have to say no. All the plan, the program of the enemy, the plan that they have for me, I bind it. I say no way. I cast them out of my way. I command that the heavens be open unto me. Let me walk in the way of the Lord, not in the way of the enemy. So you exercise your spiritual authority in prayers. Praise the Lord. We the realm of the spirit is more real than the realm of the physical. Praise the Lord. And that's also many believers are not aware of. Things that go in the realm of the spirits are more real than what you see. You just see somebody walking around on the road. You see somebody fighting there, or somebody talking there, or somebody dancing there. Somebody in the realm of the spirit, what goes on there is more real than that. Praise the Lord. There are so many people. What made this path of darkness to seem to be having authority is because their understanding of the operation of the spirit. The witches and wizards, they understand the operation of the things of the spirit. It's an ignorant man that doesn't know what goes on in the realm of the spirit. He thinks that when you go and sleep, everybody is sleeping. No. Everybody do not go and sleep. The Bible says that the wicked people, they don't sleep at all. They sleep not until they cause someone to fail. What about the occulty people? It is midnight they do their business. Do they even sleep? Praise the Lord. So it's an ordinary man that will go and sleep and think everything is over. No. So you must understand that you have to gain your spiritual authority. You have to take authority in the spirit. There's a prayer program we used to have those days, pastor's meeting. There's a portion we call taking authority. Now, if you don't know how to take authority in the realm of the spirit, then the devil will gain advantage over you. You don't only, that is the prayer that you pray violently. Now, praise the Lord. Because of spiritual powers. Because of spiritual powers. So you must learn how to take authority in the realm of the spirit. In chapter 23 of the same Luke, verse 34, it says, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his garment and cast lots. In verse 46, it says, and when Jesus has cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost. This one is talking about giving God a feedback. Prayer is a way of giving God a feedback. This is what is going on here. Father, this is what I am telling you. Praise the Lord. Father, forgive them for knowing what they were doing. It's prayer. So he was telling God, oh, these people have crucified me. Just forgive them. They don't know what they are doing. As I came here, this is what they are doing. Now this is what I'm telling you to do. Giving God feedback. You must be able to tell God, this is what is happening. Again, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Having finished the work you have given to me, I now am ready to return. I commit my spirit unto you. And God answered. Praise the Lord. So, in other words, prayer is a way of giving God feedback. Tell him what you are going through. This is what I want. In the job you gave to me, in the assignment you sent me, this is what I have to find out. This is what I want. Praise the Lord. In other words, again, prayer is bearing the burden of and representing others to the Father. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. Bearing burdens and representing others. This is where intercession comes in. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. He says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So, carry burden to God, and even carry other people's burden to God. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Who resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction accomplishes your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory, by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, strengthen, stabilize, strengthen, and set to you. To him be glory and dominion forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you must learn how to cast your body, your own body, and the body of others. That's why it's bearing the bodies of and representing others to the Father. You carry bodies to him. That this is a problem here. This is a need here. This is an issue here. Oh Lord, handle this matter. Oh Lord, take care of this issue. Praise the Lord. Again, prayer is resignation to the Father's will, not enforcing our own self-will. It's a way of resignation to the Father's will, not enforcing our self-will. That's why you see Jesus in Luke 22 was saying, not my will, Luke 22, 39 and 40, not my will, but thy will be done. So, if we are praying all the time, you want your own will to be done. Father, I need it like this. I need it like that. What of if God didn't want it so? That's why in prayer, you must also know that it's not just all about what you want. It's all about what God wants. Because sometimes we are praying certain things and God doesn't want it at that time. So, we must know, he said, and he came out and went as he was brought to the Mount of Olives, and disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he said, verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about the stone's throne and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, thy will be done. I want this trouble removed, but not as I want, but as you want. And we all know that the will of God for us is perfect. Praise the Lord. There are people who do not know, sha, that God's will is perfect. They feel that God will give them bad things. God will punish them. God will not allow them to enjoy. God will not allow them to commit sin. God will not allow them to do what they want to do. There are people like that. So they don't want the will of God. They want what they want. Praise the Lord. There are certain things you need. For example, you are praying for some blessing, so to say. You need this, you need it. And maybe God knows at that time, what you are asking for is not yet time. If I give you now, you may be destroyed. That may be the end of your Christianity. So, what's the need? He will not give you. 5 years, 10 years, you may be wondering, he has not given you. And that's where some people get discouraged. Praise the Lord. It's not about what we want, it's also about what he wants. Now, number two thing we want to look into is rule for discipleship prayer. What are the rules that we are supposed to follow? If you look at that Matthew chapter 6, where we take our text from, you see that in verse 9, it says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So, this is the way you should pray. Number one, God's interest must come first. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God's interest must come first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. In prayer, the interest of God, what he wants, must be number one, paramount in our heart. Before what we want. Number two is that there must be a very deep sense of need. There must be a sense of need. You must have a deep sense of there is a need that needs to be fulfilled. That's the rule of prayer. If there's no need to be fulfilled, what are you praying about? It says, give us this day our daily bread in verse 11. So, there is need for daily bread. So, God, we need this day our daily bread. Then, the disciple must pray with authority. Very important. Very, very important. We must learn how to pray with authority. In prayer, I told us that. Because if you are praying and you don't exercise authority in prayer, then your prayer will not carry weight. Praise the Lord. It will not carry weight. That's why in Matthew chapter 7, you see from verse 7, it says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened unto. Praise the Lord. That's you know, when you know that if you come to God to ask a thing and it shall be done, you will be sure you have faith. Ask, it shall be given. Everyone that asks, receive it. So that you need an authority to collect. If you are saying, oh God, I beg, oh, can you give me this thing? I beg. Please, oh, that means he may not give you. Praise the Lord. You're just begging for it. So prayer is not begging. Prayer is exercising authority. Praise the Lord. It's not begging. So we go to exercise authority and say, this I want it, and let it be so. Matthew chapter 12, verse 29. He said, or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his good? There's a strong man that needs to be bound in prayer. So if there are hindrances, there are obstacles, in the name of Jesus, I cast them out. I destroy them. I don't want them to exist. So let what I want come to pass. That's the authority that is required there. Then, again, the disciples should pray audaciously with order. I want this, and you stand upon it. And that's why you see most of the time, when we are praying or casting out demons, we pray with order. We want this thing so. I want this person healed in the name of Jesus. Matthew 17 verse 20 says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Order. So when you don't want anything to be impossible, you give order. You want the thing so. It is your tenacity of faith, your seriousness about that is what will make it to come to pass. Praise the Lord. Resolute. I want it. I need it. And you stand your ground and you see that the condition will change to what you want. Praise the Lord. But you see, most time it doesn't happen because we are not resolute enough. You are not sure. You don't stand. If you don't stand, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, say, stand therefore, have your limb guide about with faith. If you don't stand, the thing may not happen. If you waver, if you get wearied, then the thing may change, may not be as you want. Praise the Lord. That the next thing is that disciples must wrestle, agonize in prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. Wrestle, agonize. There are points of wrestling. There's a point of agonizing. This is a tough one. Hebrews 5, verse 7. The Bible says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was held in that he feared. This agonizing. Crying. Strong crying. There are times you go into prayer and you are weeping. You are crying. This one is not crocodile tears. Amen. Somebody offend me. Somebody do me that. Oh Lord. Oh why? Why me now? No. Praise God. That's not what we are talking about. That in you are agonizing prayer, I want it so. Oh Lord, change this situation. You'll be sobbing. You'll be sobbing. That is the kind of prayer that Hannah prayed. Amen. He wasn't complaining. He was agonizing. She was agonizing. That's what the Bible says. After with a strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. So if we know that our Father is able to change the situation, when you get to a point when it has become so terrible with you, you know that you need to weep. After you pray that prayer with weeping, whether it take you 30 minutes or 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, as long as it may be, when you get out, you are free. You know within you that matter is settled. Praise the Lord. So whatsoever happens next, you just know that it is done. Then, disciple must pray with impunity. Impunity. That is, there's a sense of continuity. Not giving up. Not that you pray a little and the thing is not done and you are tired. With impunity. In Luke 11 verse 5. He said, you see, this what we read before, that this friend went to his friend. He was knocking. The Bible say, when in verse 8, I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his impunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. He refused to give up. He continued, and he got what he wants. So there must be punity. If you need a thing, have you given up so easily? 1 month has passed, 1 year has passed, maybe it has not happened. Where's your faith now? Are you still interested as it was before? Praise the Lord. Then number 7, disciple must tackle the problem of unanswered prayer with diligence. In other words, there are so many prayers we pray and that are not answered. You must tackle them. You must know why. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You must know why. Why is the prayer not answered? And that is what will build your confidence in prayer. You know, some people get discouraged because they don't find out why I prayed this prayer. Why was it not answered? 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 7 says, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Amen. Can you see? This man got, there were prayer he prayed, God, he didn't answer them. And he knew why it was not answered. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. Most glad therefore will I rather glory in my infirmity. So he took them joyfully. Instead of getting discouraged. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. So by taking those matters, those unanswered prayers joyfully, then he now have anointing added upon him. Praise the Lord. Sometimes you ask for a thing and it's not done. Do you find out why? Instead of weeping, some people are regretting for the past 5 years, 10 years over an issue. You don't know what you are doing. Why was that thing not answered? Paul said, I have an infirmity, I have a problem, and I pray to God thrice. I ask the Lord, do this for me. And he said, no. So when you know why that thing was not answered, then it gives you more power, more strength to pursue. Instead of getting weak and weak, discouraged and complaining, that's how I pray about this matter 5 years ago. God didn't answer me. That's why I decided I wanted God to give me a car. He didn't give me a car. I wanted him to build a house for me. He didn't build a house for me. And I don't understand. That's why this thing we are wondering, how is it that we'll be praying? God is not answering us. Yeah, he complaining. If you ask for it, genuinely you really pray. You now, and it didn't come. Find out, oh God, why? And I tell you, he will tell you why. Praise the Lord. He will tell you why. Now, before we pray, let's look at reasons, some reasons for answers prayer. So when certain prayers are not answered, why? Number one, when you ask amiss or with wrong motives, the prayer will not be answered. If the motive is not right, the prayer will not be answered. James chapter 4, verse 3. If the motive is not right, the prayer will not be answered. James chapter 4, verse 3. He said, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You want to satisfy your lust, and you are asking for a thing. Just like, I want to buy a car. And what is I want to buy so type of car. And God, check your heart. Why are you trying to buy that car? Pride. You want to use it to show off. I told you, a woman bought a particular car, Jeep, one time. And while he was sharing testimony, Kai, I felt very disappointed. A Christian cannot do. You don't. He said, I got this car and it's the best in my department where I'm working. Who told you that? That's pride. And not too long after, the car went off. He could not maintain the car. He could not even, the car, up to today, I knew he's not driving the car again. Not too long. You don't buy a car to show off. Praise the Lord. That's not what car is meant for. How is your car the best in the place? How? They buy car for use, to drive, to carry you go quali, carry you go. That's, they use it. That's what they use it for. Not to show off. If I'm a believer, you, that's what you are asking. You may never have that thing. Praise the Lord. Want people to see me inside motor. I will show off like this. You may pray. You may never drive motor. Praise the Lord. We are Christians. We must know. That's one of the reasons why you see so many people pass through this life. They never get evil motto. They pray. They may think God is wicked or Satan was strong. Not Satan. It's you. It's you. You want to consume me to your lust and God stop it. Number two, when prayer is not of faith, but merely of hope, it may not be answered. There is no faith attached to the prayer. You are only hoping for it. Like you see in Luke 18. When somebody you hoping to for it, there's difference between hope and faith. Faith is of the now. Hope can be of tomorrow. If you really have faith for a thing, then you go for it. The Bible says in Luke 18 verse 1, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying there was in the city a judge, we fear not God but nor regard man, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And she said, hear what the unjust judge said. I shall not God avenge his own elect. We cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find faith on the earth? So when you are asking for a thing, let there be faith on it. The widow was resolute. He need that thing. She need it. So she went, she will make sure every I is dot, every T is crossed. And therefore he will get it. Praise the Lord. That's how things are gotten. No man have the power to stand between you and what you need from God. Hello? Not even the devil have the power to stand between you and what you need from God if you are a child of God. He cannot. God is stronger than the devil. Is that not so? So, he said even before you pray, he has already know what you are looking for. So why is it now is the Satan become? I have told us. Let's stop blaming Satan and let's stop blaming people. If you want to get things done, praise the Lord. Your blaming Satan and blame people alone can make God not to answer your prayer. Have faith. Number three, substituting faith in prayer for God. Substituting faith in prayer for faith in God. That is, you are trying to substitute your faith in prayer, not in God, in your prayer. That it is because I pray. It is because I pray. It's not because you pray. Believe God. Who can bring that thing? Praise the Lord. Even if you didn't pray like that, God could bring it. Don't you know? So, you know, that's one of the mistakes some people make. You know, when I just pray like this, because I just pray like this, that's why the thing happened. I believe God. That's why the thing came to pass. So, you must not just see that because you are very powerful in prayer, that's why things happen. Because most of the time, you will pray and fast, and something may not happen. There's nothing you can do. Praise the Lord. Again, when the praying person has not fully done his own part. You are praying and there are things you need to do on your own. You have not done it. And you are asking God to do his own. It will not be done. Because there are steps you need to take. You're like, if for example, one needed to give or sow a seed, give an offering for a particular thing and it will not do. Even when the Holy Ghost is saying do, and he's saying no, and he's saying I need this thing. Oh Lord, I need this thing. Oh Lord, I need this thing. If the thing didn't happen, what will you say? So we need to do our own part. Then, when there is something God desires to do in the praying person first, there's something God wants to do in your life before that thing you are asking for comes to pass. Then you may pray by the particular thing and it will not happen. So what God wants to do, allow him to do it. Again, trying to pluck an unripe fruit, praying contrary to God's timetable. Fruit is there, but it's not yet ripe. So you must wait for the time for the fruit, when the fruit is ripe, before it is plucked. Is that not so? Now, wait, you want to pluck the fruit. This is mango. Oh, but it's not yet ripe now. If you pluck it like that, it's useless. So God has a timetable. If you're asking for a particular thing, if the time has not come, he may not bring it. So you will be wondering. Instead of getting worried, just wait. Just be walking with him. He will get to the time, you know. He will get to the time and you see the thing will just come. Praise the Lord. Then, when God has better things for you, maybe you are asking for a particular thing and he has another thing for you. Oh Lord, I want to get this. I want to go to this place. I want to go and do this one. And he's saying, no, that's not what I want you to do. There's something else I want you to do. And you are angry that he didn't allow you to go to this place. Praise the Lord. So when he has a better things for you, ask for the thing he wants you to do. That's why he's interest first. Again, when the only way God can reach your heart is by refusing to answer your prayer. So most of the time, God, the way God can reach some people's heart is by making sure what they are asking for is not done. Then when the thing is not done, they cannot humble themselves and come to say, oh God, what shall I do? You say it is now you have come. If you have done that thing, you will never come to ask him, what shall I do? You have gone. You will fall, you will jump. So he will not answer the prayer so that you will not jump the queue. Praise the Lord. Then, when to answer your prayer, we violate his rule of justice and equity. And you know that God is a God of justice. And God is a God of equity. Just like some people desire some people to die. And maybe God check their record. They didn't deserve to die. And you are saying he must die. He must die. Just like a case of between Jonah and the Ninevites. That is what it is. God didn't want them to die. He wanted them to repent. But Jonah wanted them to die. So he was wondering that he prayed that God, I have to save them. He repented and God saved them. Jonah was angry. God is a God of equity and justice. Salina said, couldn't I save these people who have repented? So why are you saying they should die? Praise the Lord. So sometimes we are asking God to do a particular thing. If God feels that, no, that's not okay. It's not according to justice. He will not do it. Then when not to answer is God's wisest thing to do at that time. The wisest thing for him to do is not to answer you. He will leave it. And you cry and cry and cry. It's not done. So you wonder why. So dearly beloved, God answers prayer. And that I know. And prayer is the best thing that can happen to us. That's why, for example, we are calling for prayer next week, Monday. Just let's spend some time with God as we are going to a new year. I love such moments because it's a time of solemn prayer. Praise the Lord. But you see, so many people, they are always jumping from pillar to pole from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. From the beginning, there's never a time. That's why we created this one. This is a mountain. There's never a time. Even though we may not go into dry fasting this time. Even though you cannot do a long fasting, but you can pray. Praise the Lord. This is a time to sit down and sit down and sit down Monday night, Tuesday night, down to Wednesday, and you get time to pray. Can't one do that for 365 days in a year? I mean, when I see the way Christians want to begin to running up and down, I keep wondering, can't one retreat? You waka January, waka February, waka March, waka April, waka November, waka Every time, just to say, let's spend these few moments in God's presence, no time. Suppose it's work they are looking for. Money they are looking for. The money you didn't make for 360 days. May the Lord deliver us in Jesus' name. If God look at our ways of doing things, he will just kill us. I'm telling you. Because human beings are not ready to follow his methods. They are not ready. Let's go to a mountain to pray. Let's withdraw ourselves a while. Let's watch now. Until your money will come, we'll see how many of us will be here. You will just see people will not be interested. They don't have time. And you see the same people will be crying. Oh God, I don't understand. We have been praying. Why is he not hearing us? How many times have you withdrawn yourself into God's presence and lock yourself and say, today, I'm not going out to. Oh God, we must settle this matter. There is no easiest way to reach God than prayers. And Jesus did it. The apostles did it. And the people who know God today are still doing it. And there's nothing else we can do than to close our door and seek God in prayer. Let's rise up, or bow down our heads and call upon God and say, give us grace to pray. The Bible says we should go to the throne of grace. Hebrew. Let's go up to the throne of grace. Hebrew chapter 4 verse 16. Let's go to the throne of grace where we will find help. Where we'll be able to find help in time of need. We must be able to go to the throne of grace and find help in time of need. We're in a time of need now in the world. See then that we have a great high priest that is passed unto the heaven, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our faith, our profession, for we have not an high priest. We cannot be touched with the feeling of infirmity, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Ask God, give me grace in prayer. I need to learn how to pray. And I need to understand what prayer is. I need to pray just like Jesus do. I need to be able to separate myself in time of prayer. I need to have a secret time with God. Not just an open time. Secret time. That, oh Lord, I come to you. Only you. It's only you, oh Lord. Show me the way. Teach me the thing I need to know. Help me, oh Lord. Strengthen my heart. Be with me. Oh Lord, we need that grace. We need that grace. We need that grace. We need that grace. In the name of Jesus, help us, O Lord, to seek your face in prayers. Jesus did it. What excuse do we have? Are we so busy? We are more busier than Jesus. What is it that we want to do that others have not done? Lord, give us grace to separate ourselves in prayers, to seek your face more and more, to look for you more and more, to be closer to you. We need that intimacy with the Father. Prayer is communication. Prayer is communion. Prayer is intimacy. Almighty God, we want to know you more. We want to know, even most of this is end of the year now. Many things we asked for, wanted to build this and build that. Maybe it was not done. We want to know why. We must be able to know why certain things are not done. So that we will know a better way to pray tomorrow. Holy Spirit, breathe upon us. A fresh breath, a fresh strength, a fresh grace, so that at the end of the day, our prayer will be strong. Our prayer will be active. Our prayer will be the one that will receive answers. There will be authority in our voice. Our faith will be strong. Oh Lord, be with us. Open our understanding. Strengthen our minds in prayer. Let us not be complainers. Let us not be people who are depending on man. Instead of depending on you, oh Lord, we put our trust in you. Help us, oh Lord. The things I don't think I have any complaint of the prayer you have not answered. You have answered all the ones you needed to answer. The ones you have not answered, there's a reason why you have not answered them. And you will still answer them. Oh Lord, why should I be complaining? Why should I bother when I know that you still answer the prayers? Almighty God, I appreciate you, Lord. Thank you for the ones you have answered. Thank you for the one that you are answering now. Thank you for the one that will answer tomorrow. Blessed be your name. I give you glory. I give you honor. I give you adoration. Lord, strengthen our heart that we will not go away from the place of prayer. We will not be tired of praying. We will not be wearied. We will not depend on talking to men instead of talking to God. Almighty God, work on us. Thank you, blessed Father. We give you all the glory.
Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father, we thank you for a season like this in your presence. We thank you, Father, for your word you have heard. We are your servant. You have used us, O God, to teach us tonight how to pray, the ways to pray, and why some of our prayers are not answered. Lord, we ask, O God, in one accord that, Lord, you grant us grace to continue in prayers, in the secret and the open, in the name of Jesus. Help us not to faint in our prayer life. Help us to keep standing in the glory of your name, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, precious Father, for we know it is done. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.